Midwest Electric Radio presents tonight's episode, originally printed by DC Comics Inc. in December 1980. Originally written by Jerry Conway. Original art by Jose Delbo and Dave Hunt. Original lettering by John Costanza. Original colorist is Jerry Serpa. Original editor is Len Wayne. This episode is brought to you by Preston Art Center, family owned and operated for over 70 years. Check them out at PrestonArtCenter.com for more information, or come visit their store in Louisville, Kentucky. Join us now for Wonder Woman number 274 in One Supervillain Made to Order.
The sun is as bright as a white-hot flame on the silver surface of the Atlantic, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. Here, though, the sun's reflection is dulled by a spreading oil slick. Once again, nature has been violated by her errant son, man, as an oil tanker lays crashed against the shore, engulfed in flames. Wonder Woman flies her plane in for a closer look.
Great Hera, if that oil slick spreads, it'll destroy fishing and breeding grounds in the bay. I have to try to contain it, if I'm not already too late.
As Wonder Woman closes in, the flames across the ship expand.
That tanker went aground on a breakwater less than half a mile from the mouth of the bay. And the way it's spilling oil, it could empty its cargo by nightfall. Oh, merciful Minerva, that's not the worst. There's a fire on the deck. And if it reaches the oil, the resulting explosion could start a fire that might burn for days.
Wonder Woman leaps from the controls of her plane and onto the deck of the tanker.
There's only one way to fight this blaze. If I can spin my magic lasso fast enough to create a powerful wind, I might be able to blow the fire out like snuffing a candle. But the flames are so close to the spill, I've only a few seconds.
And as Wonder Woman advances on the fire, it begins to weaken.
Oh, it's working! The flames are falling back. Just another moment, and thank Hera. That takes care of the immediate emergency. Now to deal with the larger problem. Why men continue to rely on oil for their energy needs when it's so patently dangerous, I'll never understand. It's just one more example of the madness loose in a man's world. Perhaps my mother is right. Perhaps there is a single evil force acting to promote chaos across the world. Sometimes, though, I wonder. Humanity often seems quite stupid enough to create all its problems on its own.
And without hesitation, Wonder Woman jumps from the deck of the tanker, diving into the ocean below. As Wonder Woman reaches the massive tear in the tanker's hull.
Ugh, this oil sticks to the skin and stinks. Now I know why they call it crude. The hull is torn, but I think if I can apply the correct leverage and strain, I can pull the edges together. Now to seal the new seam with pressure. There. That should hold long enough for the oil to be pumped off. I hope I never have to go through this again.
And then a voice sounds out from behind her.
Oh, but you will, Wonder Woman. Bet on it. Their tankers have an accident on the average of once a month. So you better believe you'll have to do this again sometime. That's the odds.
Wonder Woman turns to see a yacht has pulled up next to her. A small crew of young adults wave her over.
Who are you people? What are you doing here?
We're the OES, Wonder Woman. The Organization for Ecological Sanity. Whenever there's a disaster like this, we come out to film it. Then get a TV station to show the film, and bingo, instant recognition. My name's Debbie Domain. I own this yacht. You look like you could use a shower. You're welcome to use the one in my cabin if you want.
Wonder Woman accepts Debbie's invitation and comes aboard.
Thank you, Debbie. I'd be most grateful.
And as all the men on the boat just stare at the fact, Wonder Woman, the legendary Amazon, stands in front of them.
Ugh. Don't let the guys get to you, Wonder Woman. The truth is, most of them hang out in the movement to meet girls.
Wonder Woman follows Debbie below deck.
Shower's this way. Give me your outfit and I'll clean it while you wash.
as Wonder Woman discreetly prepares for her shower.
You're probably asking yourself, what's a girl like Debbie Domain doing with a bunch of ecology nuts? Am I right?
Partly. I assume you have certain convictions you all share?
Bet on it, Wonder Woman. One summer, when I was 14, I was staying in my aunt's house on the north shore of the bay. I was walking the beach just before dawn, and I found a goose in the sand. Some people think the geese are the most beautiful thing about Chesapeake Bay. The flight of the geese at sunset, the sound of their cries across the water. There are no words to describe it.
I think I understand. Sounds a little like Paradise Island.
Maybe, but that was morning. The goose I found was flopping around in the wet sand like something half alive. He had oil on his wings. It was matted thick into the feathers. My aunt and I brought him to the vet. He told us the bird would never fly again. He suggested we take him to a shelter. The next day, the vet called us. The bird died overnight from suffocation. He tried to clean his wings and got oil in his lungs.
Later, the day is well advanced when the OES yacht returns to its slip in the South Shore Marina. Debbie Domain waves goodbye to her compatriots in protest and then strolls up the pier to the marina office to check her mail. When she arrives, she finds the flag on the mailbox up.
Now, isn't this a coincidence? I was telling Wonder Woman about my aunt just a few hours ago, and now here's a letter from... Oh, no.
And as Debbie reads her letter...
I have less than a week to live. The doctors wanted to keep me locked up in the hospital, but I told them, if I must die, I'll die in my home. You remember the North Shore house, don't you, dear Deborah? Perhaps you could visit me this Friday. There's something I must tell you.
Why do the good people always have to die?
As the heart-stricken Debbie Domain reads on through her tears, some miles away, outside that set of bureaucratic building blocks known as the Pentagon, a hurrying Amazon makes a swift transformation from woman warrior to Air Force captain.
Oh, I'm late for the briefing on the Corps' new solar-powered airbase project. It took weeks of maneuvering to get both Steve Trevor and General Darnell to this briefing. I can't let it fall apart now.
Inside, moments later, as a small group of high-ranking officials watch the presentation, they have a quiet exchange of their opinions.
Intriguing project, Prince. Using Air Force research funds to develop the world's first solar-powered city. I'm impressed.
Then you'll support the project, General Darnell.
I'd like to discuss this budget with you in greater detail, Prince. Say, tonight at dinner, at Sanssouci? Or am I being too conniving?
Conniving or not, you have a date, General.
Shortly after, Diana Prince walks down the hallway with Colonel Trevor.
If you don't mind, Colonel, I'd like to leave a little bit early tonight. I need some time to change before a dinner engagement.
Fine with me, Prince. I've got a dinner date myself with the loveliest angel this side of paradise. Wonder Woman.
Diana's eyes widen as she just realizes what she's done. Later, at twilight on the North Shore, Debbie Domain is finally nearing her aunt's house.
It's been years since I was up here. The area hasn't changed. I wish I'd visited Aunt Priscilla more often. But somehow, the seasons just seem to slip away. To be coming back now for such a reason seems so sad.
From a remote location, a figure, shrouded in shadow, stares into a glowing screen.
Operative to base. Miss Priscilla Rich appears to have a visitor, Master. A young woman, and judging by a certain resemblance, she must be a relative.
Then, a sinister voice answers from over the radio.
So, it seems your mission was not a complete waste, then. Continue to observe the young lady. When the moment seems right, we will act.
Aunt Priscilla? She must be in the master bedroom upstairs.
Debbie makes her way up the creaky staircase.
Strange how dusty the house seems. It's almost as though Aunt Priscilla spent more time out of the house than in it these past few years. Now that I think about it, I remember she used to disappear for months at a time years ago. I wonder what she did, where she went. Maybe it doesn't matter anymore.
And as Debbie enters the bedroom...
Aunt Priscilla?
Who's that? Who's there? Is that you? I told you I'm sick. Weak. I can't help you. Wouldn't help you if I could. That part of my life is over.
Aunt Priscilla, it's me, Deborah. Your niece, Deborah.
Deborah? Oh, my heavens. Why did you have to come today? If he saw you... Deborah, give me your hand.
Of course, but I don't understand what you're talking about.
As Debbie extends her hand, Priscilla grabs her wrist and quickly pulls her in close.
And Priscilla, you're hurting me.
Child, run. I wanted to tell you the truth about my past, but there's no time now. Not while he's out there.
And Priscilla? She's dead.
In a panic, Debbie Domain hurls herself out of the older woman's death grip and loses her balance, stumbling into a closet door. Oh. And as the closet swings open, from inside, something moves. The human mind is a funny thing. Even the most rational of us, under stress, emotional or physical, can be terrified by shadows. So it is with Debbie Domain, shocked by her aunt's death, now startled by something that unexpectedly lunges towards her. She doesn't have time to recover her equilibrium and once again stumbles, this time striking her head. The blow is serious. As she descends into unconsciousness, finally aware that her attacker is nothing more dangerous than a mannequin in a bizarre animal print costume, she senses motion at the bedroom door. Through a gathering haze, she sees the bedroom door swing open as a new apparition enters the room. A masked man reaches out for her. It's the last thing she remembers for a very long time. Meanwhile, in the Georgetown townhouse apartment recently co-leased by Diana Prince and her friend and co-worker, Etta Candy.
Talk about your luck, Diana. Imagine Mr. Abernathy renting us this apartment for only $300 a month.
I can't believe the mess I've gotten myself into with Stephen Darnell.
I heard some talk about him at the Pentagon. He used to be one of the most influential senators in Congress. Then one day, he just resigned. No one knows why or... Diana, are you listening to me?
Diana snaps out of her daydreaming.
I'm sorry, Etta. Did you say something?
Apparently not. Forget it.
As a bewildered Diana Prince tries to apologize, elsewhere, a woman, suspended in midair by mechanical harnesses and medical equipment, wakes from darkness into a mind-stunning brilliance of light.
Oh. Why doesn't someone turn out those lights?
I'm afraid that would hardly suit our purposes, Miss Domain. I was most unhappy when my agents arrived at your aunt's home and found Ms. Rich dying. I had plans for her, most particularly for her alter ego.
Who are you? What are you saying about Aunt Priscilla?
Ah, yes. You didn't know about your aunt's secret life, did you? Well, you'll learn. Since we couldn't have the original, we decided to make do with a recreation. You shall be that recreation, Ms. Domain. You shall take your aunt's place in my master plan.
You're crazy!
Perhaps. If so, it's a condition you'll soon share.
And with a snap of his fingers...
We begin.
Suddenly, The blinding lights are replaced by holographic images. Hundreds of scenes, each lasting no longer than the blink of an eye. Factories polluting air and stream. Oil tankers spilling their deadly cargo. Seal hunters committing senseless murders. Scenes of outrage, of violence against nature and innocence. Each is calculated to produce the same response in the thunderstruck Deborah domain.
Fury.
The combined sensations of helplessness and fury spawn a third emotion, like that of a caged animal tormented beyond endurance. Then comes the electrical shocks, none serious enough to cause permanent harm, but each stronger than the last. Debbie Domain struggles to maintain her sanity. She really does. But there are limits, after all. Deborah Domain reaches her limit and is pushed beyond as Debbie becomes lost within the blinding imagery that erodes her mind. Not long after, on a busy street near Pennsylvania Avenue.
Hermes, give me the speed to make this succeed. General Darnell, I hope you don't mind picking me up in town.
Please, call me Phil. I want to apologize for manipulating this dinner, Diana. If you want, I'll take you home and we'll forget the whole thing.
It would be so easy to say yes, but I accept it in good faith and I'll go through with it. At least I may have learned a lesson from all of this. Actually, Phil, I'm looking forward to this evening.
Thank you, Diane. So am I.
At Sanssouci, only a few doors down from L'Imaginée.
So far, so good. It's only 2 minutes until 8 o'clock. From this point on, timing is everything. Phil, if you'll excuse me, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't be long. I really am interested in discussing that solar-powered airbase.
Diana slips into the coat room. And as her magic lasso spins around her, she changes into Wonder Woman.
The general is trying so hard to be sweet, but at heart he's still a general. At least everything seems to be going according to schedule. Steve should be waiting outside, and he's probably wondering if he's been stood up.
Moments later, as Steve is checking the time.
Am I late, Steve?
No, Angel, you're right on time. Why'd you want me to meet you at this restaurant, though? L'Imaginée has a reputation for stuffing.
Oh, a friend recommended it. Steve, after we get our table, will you excuse me for a few minutes?
Sure, Wonder Woman. But don't be gone too long. We've got lots to talk about.
I have the feeling that by the end of tonight, I may turn into a ping pong ball.
Meanwhile, the room is dark, with only a few small pools of light here and there. The man who sits in a serpentine chair beckons impatiently to a woman standing in the doorway.
Do you know who you are?
I know.
The woman steps into the light. It's Debbie Domain.
You are the avenger of wronged nature. You are the savior of oppressed animal kind. You are my servant, and I your master. You are the cheetah, and you will fill the world with terror.
This concludes tonight's episode of Wonder Woman number 274 with Jordan Aiken as Etta Candy, Katie Floyd as Wonder Woman and Diana Prince, Kevlin Goodner as General Darnell, Philip Hubbard as Steve Trevor, Molly Kays as Debbie Domain and the Cheetah, Judy Littlefield as Aunt Priscilla, Justice Naeem as the Cobra Cult Operative, Shelley Marcourt Reed as the Narrator, Josh Warren as the Cobra Cult Leader, music by Kevin MacLeod, edited and directed by Jason Mattingly. With a very special thanks to William Marston. Tune in next time for Episode 3 of Midwest Electric Radio with Black Panther Number 1, originally published in 2016. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.